So to have a party in his honor, people thought it would be very good for a company that was not known to be particularly talent-friendly, and to try to mix and match a lot of people that had worked in Disney movies, had worked in Disney animation. I had theme park people there, I had people from the Imagineering group, and I mixed everybody up with directors. It was interesting. The Imagineering guys loved talking to Spielberg because he was exclusive to Universal, and they sat and picked his brain. The party cost about $90,000, which Ovitz felt was a bargain, less than half what he would have spent had he still been at CAA. He was later criticized for exceeding the $125 per person maximum allowed by Disney. But in fact, the limit applied only to non-catered events. Under the terms of Ovitz's contract, as well as Eisner's, catered events were reimbursed in full. In any event, Ovitz left expense account details to one of his assistants. Indeed, at one time or another, Ovitz had five assistants, including one who oversaw gifts from Ovitz on Disney's behalf. To Ovitz, gift-giving was another integral part of doing business in a creative industry where talent relations were paramount. But it was not how Eisner functioned. He sent the same Christmas gift to everyone every year. Apples from an orchard near the family's Vermont farm, or a wheel of aged Vermont cheddar cheese. Years earlier, Ovitz had accompanied Eisner on a shopping trip to buy a special gift for Eisner's longtime assistant at Paramount, and Eisner had selected a letter opener. As Eisner said in a note to Tony Schwartz, "I knew from the beginning that I had to treat company money as though it were my own. Maybe it is because I came from wealth, or my father drummed it into my head, but I had it. I had noticed through the years that most do not. They treat the company like they would the government. It is big and it doesn't matter." Michael Ovitz was that way. Eisner asked both Litvak and Irwin Russell to closely monitor Ovitz's expenses, looking for infractions of company policy, beginning with the Chuck Close party. He sent Russell a handwritten note saying, "Michael is obviously not reporting gifts," and, "He told me some of his stock pickers were buying Disney," suggesting that Ovitz might be inappropriately discussing Disney with brokers. Ovitz later denied any wrongdoing. It was almost as if Eisner wanted to find infractions. Litvak kept up a steady drumbeat of ethical and other concerns, which fueled Eisner's suspicions that Ovitz was heedless of such issues, and spent Disney's money like it was CAA's. Eisner addressed some of these concerns obliquely in an October 10th letter he wrote Ovitz while flying cross-country to look at Georgetown University, his son Breck's alma mater, and other colleges with his son Anders. He began by complimenting Ovitz on his work and saying he was particularly delighted with a personal relationship that will grow and flourish between us. At the same time, the letter was a little like his Paramount manifesto, meant as a reminder to Ovitz that he was working at a public company. "We are the hired managers of this great institution, but subject to and responsible to all the owners," he wrote. "We must remember that, not because either of us think otherwise, but because that will keep us on course. Human, humble, vulnerable, sharp, responsible, and ethical. We must lead by ethical standards that the whole company sees and buys into."